Hello, it's Matt, and this is a Proud Podcast. Is it right to write? Part 3. In part 1 of Is It Right to Write, I introduced the idea that there are 3 steps to writing, and we explored the first step, prepare. In part 2, we covered 3 different types of lead that you can use to help you write. Now, while you may be wondering how you can start to use some of the things you have listened to in the 2 previous podcast episodes, let me encourage your grey matter to give itself a massage. Give your mind a massage. Depending on what study you read, generally it is agreed that the brain is said to work in peaks and troughs and can concentrate for approximately 20 minutes before it starts to reduce. Writing is a creative process and requires a certain level of concentration from various parts of our brains, our creative side at certain stages and our more logical thinking side of our brain. So how can we ensure that our brain is working at its optimum so that it can produce valuable written projects that will inspire or generate new clients and business? Well, why not give your mind a massage and try some of these suggestions? Have a break. I don't know exactly what it is, but I have always found a short break does wonders for my creative ideas. I think just the fact that I'm standing up, walking around and getting away from the PC monitor and distracting my mind for a few minutes gives me time to look at the writing in a new perspective once I return. You may want to consider setting aside specific break times during the writing project to help recharge your mind. Basically, any light aerobic stimulation and exercise will help to put more oxygen into your mind, which in turn will benefit your writing. Also, breathing. I think there's quite a lot of research now into the obvious thing about breathing through your nose, and how few people actually do breathe through their noses. It's thought that 25 to 50% of the population actually habitually breathe through their mouths as opposed to the nose. So it might be worth wondering about how often are you breathing through your nose, because this is the best for your brain. Brain gym. A number of years ago, I came across some fascinating work done by Paul and Gail Dennison that they have called Brain Gym. There are a number of different versions of their books marketing at helping children, students or teachers. From their work, they found measurable improvements when students were given reading and writing exercises to complete. There are a variety of physical exercises which can either stimulate or relax the person. My understanding is that by manipulating certain parts, in particular the muscles of the body, certain areas of the brain linked to different communication methods are positively affected, such as reading, writing and creative thinking. If you want to find out more, then have a look at one of their books. I did listen to a Radio 4 programme. I think it might have been All in the Mind or some kind of psychology programme. And they talked a little bit about Brain Gym. I think some of the people on there didn't think it quite stacked up. However, I think any kind of exercise or manipulation, or whether it's kind of yoga poses or stretching, anything like that, which refocuses your brain on your body and what your body and your breathing is doing, has got to be a beneficial thing. H2O water. Another key area with regards to helping us concentrate and be more creative is drinking water, because it helps the brain to function more efficiently. I know so many of us take stimulants containing caffeine, and even though you get the initial short-term high, then you go back to the low. Consequently, to keep a healthier, sustained level of mental alertness, drinking water, even though not as glamorous as the many manufactured sugar and caffeine added products, is critical to the function of your mind. And water, obviously, does make up a significant part of your biological body. Music. Whistle while you work. People have differing views on listening to music while writing, and it is down to personal taste and working with your own learning style preferences. Certainly, a number of people seem to think Mozart has positive influences. One thought is that it is rather linear and ordered in its composition and can be particularly helpful with some people that have a certain learning abilities. An acquaintance of mine, while completing his degree at one of the Oxbridge universities, completed a study in schoolroom classrooms with disruptive teenagers. He monitored the lessons and recorded the number of incidents, and his findings found that when certain music, i.e. Mozart, more classically based, was played in lessons, there were notably lower levels of disruption. So if you require a little more creativity to start or motivation to finish, why not try listening to some appropriate music? As a Hollywood actress may or may not have said, "I want to be alone." Find somewhere that is conducive to writing. If you have dependents, whether that is family or business colleagues, then ensure that they understand that you need an area that will not be disturbed and agree a set amount of time you will have to yourself. Stay focused. When the going gets tough, apparently the tough get going. There are a number of ways of staying focused, and I wanted to touch on the main one as I explore focus and motivation in more depth elsewhere in my training programs and coaching. Keeping your focus will probably vary depending on the length of the project you are writing. A 500-word e-zine is rather different to a book. Therefore, you are more likely to get stuck or lose focus with larger projects. This can be avoided or reduced by having an overall aim and/or vision for what you are writing. Knowing why you are doing it in the first place is crucial to the motivation needed to complete it. As the business consultant Peter Block wrote in one of his books, the answer to how is why. If we have a big enough why, then we achieve most things. Therefore, understanding the benefit it will add to your readers, the improvements they can make by reading your writing, the potential new relationships you will develop, and the reputation you will gain will all help you to refocus. So, if you have given your mind a massage, let us move on to the final step. Complete. The third stage in writing is the complete stage, which is where you edit the work you have either put onto paper or typed up. And I totally agree with the marketeer, Robert Middleton, when he says, write quickly, edit slowly. This stage should take longer than the previous write stage, and I think it is a good idea to have some sort of break in between the write stage and the complete stage. It helps let your thoughts germinate a little before going back and editing. Depending on what it is you are writing, then perhaps go back to it the next day. Obviously, if you have other writing projects or other work to do, then do that instead. If you can, have someone else read it through for you, preferably as soon as you have done your first draft. Your agent and/or publisher will read it if it is a longer project such as a book. For smaller projects, ask friends or colleagues to have a read to check syntax and spelling, etc. If you ask someone to read your work specifically to check the relevance of the content and the value it is adding, then I suggest that as well as friends, family or colleagues, ensure that the people checking it are part of your set demographic readers. Ready, steady, go. This is another useful idea I heard from Alan Wise, and both myself and my clients have found it useful. When you are 80% ready, then go. Such as when a presentation is 80% finished, then it's ready, because no one will notice the extra that you did to get it nearer to 100%. The same goes for writing. No one is really going to notice the extra time and effort you have put in between a written project that is 80% finished and 99% finished. It has advantages in that you will be able to write more, complete written projects quicker, and for those people who are perfectionists, it reduces the need to be a perfectionist. All things must come to an end. In this series on Is It Right to Write, we have covered the three steps of preparing, writing, and completing a written project. You may already know some of the concepts, and perhaps it has been a useful reminder. At the same time, I trust you will have learnt some new ideas that will assist you to increase your creativity and write more quickly and easily. Just to finish, I thought I would share this time bar suggestion with you. It is an indication of the amount of time required for each of the three steps and is a general guide. Spend 40% on prepare, 20% on write, and 40% time on complete. Prepare 40%, write 20%, complete 40%. The prepare step will reduce depending on a few things, including the amount of previous knowledge you have. Ideally, the write step is the shortest, as it is getting the ideas from the previous step onto paper or typed up and avoiding editing while doing it. Then lastly, the complete step is where you finally edit, and this will take longer than writing. So I don't know if you are now wondering how you are going to apply some of the ideas within this podcast episode with the next written project that you're going to do. If you'd like to get in contact with me stating how this episode has helped you, then that would be nice to hear from you. All the best with your projects, and now go and add value to people and write something. How will you make yourself and your organisation proud? I wish you all the success you are prepared to work for, and that the people you influence on a regular basis will start to see the many untapped talents that you have. If you like this podcast episode, then feel free to share it with those that you care about. If you haven't already subscribed, then click on the relevant button so you don't miss out and always get the latest episode. As well as subscribing, you can also go to my blog and read that at www.matthewbroomhead.co.uk. Take care.